As you will recall from last week's conversation, we were all left with the cliffhanger question of, is Carex fun? Casey, is Carex fulfilling its kind of third pillar, having fun?
Turns out it was all true, DP. We had a ton of fun over the past week, and here we are. It is. We do try to have fun, and I think that's important, right? Anybody who says that's not important to them, either they're not telling the truth or probably not someone you want to work with, right?
Well, give me an example of what you mean by fun, because you're working in a sector, kind of a, call it HR, human resources placement, that type of stuff. I don't think you're probably having water balloon fights in the office or, you know, going to karaoke night together, or are you?
Yeah, we are actually not karaoke yet. We do have a trivia night coming up on the 3rd of April, where we bring together our partners and candidates, our consultants, and we have a couple beers and play trivia. It's really fun. We do stuff like that all the time. We host a game night, which is more for our IT candidate base, where we get down and dirty and play some of the geekiest games you could imagine. And it's super fun. Everybody has a good time at that. But I think the have fun part of it for us is more just about, frankly, just joking around in the office. Like, we have an open concept office, about 10 people in there. We give each other a hard time. We have a good time. We screw around a little bit and try to just take some time and have some laughs. That's worth quite a bit.
I want to be clear too, that while you guys may exist with developers and programmers and things like that, they're in your orbit. I've been to your offices. That's not some kind of broheim where it's all developer bros, because let's face it, the company was founded by a woman, Rachel Neal, and her DNA kind of informs the entire office on the way things roll. And what's your gender makeup now?
Well, you're exactly right. Rachel is kind of the heart and soul of what we do. And for those that know Rachel Neal, she's just a great person. She's very vibrant. She's very driven. She has an infectious laugh. She's really fun to work with. So you're right. And she's an outsider to the staffing industry. I think all of us kind of are. And maybe that's a cliche thing to say, but we don't have a big staff built of people who have been in the staffing industry for 30 years. In fact, what we pride ourselves on is that we're kind of a disruptor in the space, and we come in and do things a little differently. And admittedly, a lot of that is because we don't know the quote right way to do it. So we just do it the way that we think is right from a doing right by other people standpoint. So we're a little different in a lot of ways like that. As far as gender makeup, I'd say we're probably 70-30 women when I think it through. Yeah, we've got a few guys on the team, but our recruiting and our leadership team is largely women, now that you mention it. Yeah.
So what trends are you seeing when it comes to the way people are preparing themselves for the market when looking for a new position? Like, before you meet them, what have they done to get themselves ready for even just the first pass with you guys?
You know, I think that's one of the beauties of the market right now for a job seeker, is that you don't have to do all that much in order to get yourself in the game. I mean, unemployment is at historic lows, and especially people in the IT and project management sector that we work in are in very high demand. So if anything, we see people just coming to us looking for a conversation, like, hey, I've been working at this company for a while. I'm getting a little bit of an itch. What's out there for me? And we usually start things off with a cup of coffee or a lunch. We just talk it through, get to know the person. So we don't say, hey, come to us with a pristine resume or bring a bunch of work samples or something like that. That isn't really needed right now. We just want to sit down and talk to people and get to know them. And then we can help them build up some of those tools and some of the sort of, the arsenal that they need to actually land the job.
So I'm going to pull this back into the personal branding circle and say, so really all you're saying is you want people who know who they are and are being it, so you can have a conversation with them, find out who they are by the way they are, and then you're able to present them and also polish them as necessary toward any positions that you might have in mind that would be right for them. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't even ask that someone comes fully formed. Like, if you don't know who you are, you're in pretty good company, right, these days. Like, a lot of people have been working at the same place for X amount of years, and they know who they are. within the context of that company or that organization that they've been working with. But that's part of the beauty of what we can do is we can say, you're actually a lot more than that. These skills, you're not just a business analyst in XYZ industry. You're actually kind of like an operations person in, you know, this other industry, or have you thought about looking at a sales role? Or they're just those kind of conversations. That's what's fun, is like helping people blossom a little bit, understand what could be rather than just what they have been doing. And then I think from there, it's a matter of polishing and helping to make their resume and their online profile, and any work samples, and the way that they dress and talk and approach the interview, match that brand of what they want to be, right? Dress for the job that you want, kind of thing. That's a simple way to put it.
So what kind of industries are you really finding the most success in placing people?
You know, for us, I think a lot of it is situational or circumstantial, in that we do most of our business in Madison, which means that we do a lot of business in the insurance space because we have a lot of insurance companies in town. And I also think that our candidate base, we found that there's a good translation there from a healthcare IT background or from somewhere in that sphere into the insurance space, or just for whatever reason that we found that those skills translate really well. We do quite a bit in the healthcare space, got a lot of software partners, software as a service companies. Those are all really good markets for us. But, you know, we've got a customer that's a dental group. It's completely random. It's a sort of a side business that we run, and we found success there too. So I talked earlier about not having our brand fully formed necessarily. That's part of it. We're still in a bit of an exploration phase right now, which is fun.
Carex Consulting. Carex is spelled Carex Consulting. How can people get a hold of you if they wanted to have one of those proverbial coffee meetings where you get to know them and maybe can help them out?
Yes, thank you for asking. Real simple, you can just email info@carexconsultinggroup.com. Visit our website. There are plenty of opportunities to click links there and get in touch with us. You know, as far as our social media presence, that was one of the things coming into these conversations with you, is I've noticed a lot of the people you podcast are truly experts in this area of personal branding and social media. Meanwhile, I kind of have my hat in my hand. I'm a bit of a student here. Like I'm no expert in this area. I want to get better. So I think as such, my personal social media is not where it could be. So don't go there. But Carex does a pretty decent job, and we're investing time and energy into making that better too. So hopefully, you know, these conversations can help with that, DP. No pressure.
Well, and the whole thing is, I didn't have you on as an expert on social media or anything like that. I wanted to get your expertise as someone who deals with people from the outside, trying to fill roles in companies that are your clients. You have a different perspective on someone who comes in with a very clear idea on who they are, how they perform, what they want, versus someone who's kind of a flag in the wind that just blows wherever the wind's blowing. I mean, from my point of view, coming in with a certain clarity about the foundation of who you are is incredibly important. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on was to test that idea, because I can think whatever I want, but if you're the guy who's actually placing people in companies and you think, nope, all you need is a resume on 8.5 by 11, I would love to know that, because that's part of the value of this podcast, is having ideas tested. So I'm throwing that idea at you. Is it helpful to have a fully formed idea of who you are when coming into a conversation with you?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. So I think it really depends a little bit on the job. What is it that you want to do? So if you want to do something that's pretty straightforward, and there are a lot of jobs out there, maybe a certain software engineer or an entry-level software tester or something like that, do you need a lot of flourish and branding and all that? Probably not. But, you know, we do a lot of executive and some little bit higher level searches for our client partners. And in those situations, absolutely, yes. Branding is really important for the candidate. So it's reputation, it's image, it's content that you have out there. I think you would agree those are all parts of your brand, right? Those are all.
Oh, yeah. They're the demonstration pieces that truly demonstrate who you are, what you do, and how you do it.
Yeah. And that's something I want to focus on, is helping our candidates do better with that. One of the things we do that I think is pretty interesting and cool is that with certain partners, and I think at some point we'll roll this out to more of our client partners, is we have our candidates do a little video interview. We have a piece of software that we use. So if we get to know a particular hiring manager, we know what that individual looks for in candidates. We can ask you, DP, my candidate, answer these three questions on this video application. Get it till you get it right. Click delete, start over, get it right till you feel like it's representing who you are and what you're trying to put forward. And then we'll send it over. They can take a look at it. Saves them the time of having to bring you in for an interview. They get to see your face, get a feel for how you speak, how you communicate, what kind of a person you are, at least on a surface level. And it's just a nice way to sort of grease the skids to get the process going.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that I'm a huge fan of video because it engages more or less every sense in the human body other than touch and smell, right? And sometimes based on what you're seeing on camera, you can extrapolate what the smell might be. Sorry, had to go there. But the whole idea of demonstrating who you are via video, I think is going to be increasingly more and more used because it's so easy to do. I mean, everyone has a smartphone now with a camera that's better than or more powerful than the cameras that were used during the golden age of cinema. So the idea that you get out there on video is hugely important. I was at the University of Wisconsin, Don Stanley's class in the Life Sciences Communication Department, talking about Facebook Live to his students. And it was really interesting to see all these young people who are supposed to be absolutely fantastic on social kind of freaking out when I had a Facebook Live going. And friends of mine who happened to be at South by Southwest, who are from Australia, Skyped in during the Facebook Live, and I had a brief conversation with them. And they're like, you can do that? And I said, yeah, not only that, but what did it cost me for that? Zero. Literally for nothing, I was able to get people from Australia who happened to be in Austin, Texas, giving me a report about South by Southwest in real time in a classroom. How cool is that? That's power. That's just incredible power. And one of the things I told those students was, if you're not doing this stuff, you're leaving money on the table. It's that old, you're leaving money on the table, because the people who are doing it are going to pick up that money and run with it. Video, video, video. You may not like it. The sooner you can at least get comfortable looking into a camera and saying, hey, my name's DP Knuton and I'm looking for a job, you're really going to excel, or you're going to have a leg up on other people. So get with video. It sounds like Carex is all over it already.
We are. And personally, I need to get better at it myself. I look at guys like you and plenty of other people, even folks within Carex like Rachel, that are out there all the time putting their face forward along with their ideas. And I need to get better at that. I recognize the value of it. It's a hard thing to do, right? It's a scary door to open sometimes.
Well, and not everybody is going to be doing everything right away. And you don't have to. All you have to do is start making steps in the right direction. And it was really delightful for me to see one of the students that I talked to yesterday has just put up her first Facebook Live video. And she's all excited about it and kind of tripping over her words, but she doesn't care because she's trying it. I'm like, number one, your mom is just going to be so happy to see you on camera and be so excited that you'll have something your mom will enjoy seeing. And if you get better at it, especially as a student coming out of college, if you have a video body of work that people can stumble upon via your LinkedIn page or other social media things, these are all windows into your brand, into your soul, into who you are, how you do things, and why people should hire you. To me, don't leave that video money on the table. Start doing it. It's going to feel weird at first, and the next one's going to be a little bit easier. It's like going to a club to work out. If you haven't gone to work out in a long time, you might pick up that 1 pound weight off the rack and be able to do 3 reps. Well, come the next day, maybe you get 5 reps, and then maybe you move to the 5 pound. And after a while, you get better and better and better. But you don't get better if you don't do. And by the way, back to our brand and culture discussion, culture yes, it exists between people, but it also surrounds individuals. What is your personal culture? Is it a culture of performance? Is it a culture of relaxation? Is it a culture of kindness? All these things, they're part of your brand, and you get to demonstrate them. And one great way to demonstrate that part of your culture and your brand is via video, via social media, and the way you engage with people. You know, I've seen Rachel's stuff on LinkedIn frequently, and, you know, she's always charming. And by having her as a face for Carex, it answers a multitude of questions. And that first question is, what can I expect if I talk to you guys on the phone or over a cup of coffee? You see it before you even meet people.
It makes it a lot easier to reach out and take that next step in your career when you know people on the other end are going to be approachable and just authentic, regular people. I mean, it's not just Rachel either. We've got our whole recruiting team does this series of videos that they call Kicking It with Carex. They're very low budget, man. That's a camera phone and simple backdrop, and they just chat about the topic of the day. And I think they're great. I mean, it's just, they're unscripted mostly. They're just people talking. And I think that's really, it's a really cool thing that we do. It helps we have likable people on our team too.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they've said that the most stressful events in your life are things like moving, having a baby, losing a job, changing jobs. Is that whole time frame is very potentially stressful or uncomfortable for people. So if you guys via your video can show that, oh, you're nice people, there are no dumb questions, everybody seems kind, I'm a little bit nervous, it puts people at ease and makes it a lot easier. Let me ask you this question very specifically. What is the highest, biggest profile job that you've been able to place someone in via Carex Consulting?
We've done a number of executive, what I would call executive placements. So chief operating officer, chief human resource officer, chief people officer at varying size companies. And we've also worked with some big companies. We've worked on some executive searches as well and put some really good candidates forward. So we're not too, you know, it's part of that exploration that I was talking about before, is that we're not too narrow. I mean, we'll really stretch and try to help our customer partners out. We've done administrative level roles as well. Neither the administrative nor the executive are really, I wouldn't say, our sweet spot, but do we try them, especially for our partners that we work with a lot? Yeah, absolutely.
Let me ask you this question. Let's play out a scenario. I'm coming out of a high-performing organization, and I've had a very specific role that is very clearly defined. Can I walk in, talk to you guys, and say, this is where I've been and what I've done. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to use those skills I've developed, but I want to go someplace else. Can you have those types of what-if scenario questions going on?
That's all we do. I mean, that's exactly what we do. So if you can come, usually, to be frank, usually we have to get you to that point where you'll admit that you want to, you know, you want to make a change or make that uncomfortable move into something new, a new industry, a new type of role. So, hey, if you come with that fully formed and fully baked and you want it, that's great. That just gets us one step closer to where we want to get.
Can you give me a rundown of some of the industry sectors in which you've been able to place people?
Yeah, you bet. We've, as I said earlier, insurance has been a really big one for us. So whether it's health insurance, you know, property and casualty insurance, broader financial industry, those have all been really good sectors for us. Healthcare, IT is obviously a big one for us. Like I said, we've got a lot of candidates that come from that space. So putting them in other roles in that space has been, it's pretty easy. It's just, you know, matching the right people with the right job at that point. We ventured into healthcare providers like dentists, orthodontists, things like that. We've had good success in general software companies and tech that aren't necessarily healthcare focused. So we are flexible in that way, and we're always exploring new industries. I would have put forward the guess that 3 years from now, we will probably have lines of business in sectors that we don't even know. We want to be very opportunistic, and something will come down the road, and I'm sure we'll take a look at it, and we're not afraid, put it that way.
And that's cool, because I see you as defined by your brand, not defined by your current service offering menu. You know, there's a difference, because if you're a restaurant, you can be a Greek restaurant 1 week and turn around and be an Italian the next week with most of the same food stuffs. All you have to do is pivot a little bit. you guys are kind of the restaurant of placement, which is we have the same skill set, we have the same culture, the same brand, but we can flex to meet your needs, which I think is very, very cool. What is the youngest person you've been able to place successfully?
Well, we've on multiple occasions brought Rachel and Bill's son Daniel in as an intern. Does that count? not too young though, DP. I mean, we're talking about folks that are out of college professionals that we work with. We don't really try to flex down to younger people necessarily, but who knows?
They should have a couple of years under their belt in a professional organization.
That's usually where we have the most success. Yeah. Somebody who's out of school with a degree and a little bit of a feel for who they are and what their skills are. Now, that said, we've spent a fair amount of time talking to college students as well. We've been to some career fairs. We've been sponsors of hackathons and some of those kind of things where we've met a ton of really bright college kids that are either looking for internships or looking for full-time entry-level jobs. And that's certainly something that we want to get better at over time too, is building that out. Because even if we just build those relationships, what we found is that 2-3 years down the road, those are going to be our candidates. So if I can make friends with college kid who is super smart and he's working on some neat projects or whatever it might be, and we can work with him and help him out one way or another, a couple years down the road, he's going to be our next software engineer that's getting placed at one of our partners.
So what's the oldest person you've successfully placed?
As you probably know, age is not a question that you ask of job candidates.
I'm just trying to say, let me play out a scenario again, another scenario, because when you're in your 50s, let's say, you're coming out of a successful career, but things happen or you decide you want to make a change. Do you guys handle someone who might want to have a conversation about, hey, I've been doing this for a long time, I would really like to try something else, and they happen to be north of 50?
Of course. Yeah, of course. There's no issue there. We've worked with many people over 50. One of the things when you talk about branding, actually, is that there is an extra challenge for those folks that maybe a millennial candidate doesn't have. The millennial age bracket comes with a bit of a brand all on its own, right?
Right.
You know certain things about somebody by the cohort that they're in. It's a little tougher. You have to do a little bit of extra work to translate the skills of somebody who's quote unquote non-traditional, either because they're a little bit older or they've been out of the job market for a few years or they started their own business. You know, maybe they started a yogurt shop for 5 years and now they want to get back into the insurance industry. Anything that's a little bit out of the norm, you have to just work a little bit on that brand, help them build their profile and understand what kind of a face they want to put forward.
And Carex is open to that type of conversation?
We're more than open to it. We love it. That's exactly what we enjoy doing. I mean, that's our whole business, DP, is just getting to know people and helping you as a candidate find the next great thing. And that's exactly what we like doing. Yeah.
Well, you heard it straight from the president of Carex's mouth, Casey Likas of Carex Consulting. Look up Carex online, Carex, at carexconsultinggroup.com. And if you wanted to perhaps see if you could meet up with those guys, you said it was info@carexconsultinggroup.com.
Yep, or Casey@carexconsultinggroup. That'll work too.
Well, that's very cool. And we're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'd love to remind everybody that I'd like to invite you to the Nonfiction Brandversity Facebook group. All you have to do is look up Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook, ask to join the group, and you are in guaranteed. I'd also like you to consider, can you do me a favor? Go ahead and like, subscribe, recommend, and review this podcast because it'll help more people find it and definitely help me boost my personal brand, which is not an inconsequential goal of mine, to be honest. And once again, I'm DP Knuton, and he is
Casey Likas.
And I'll be talking to you next time. Bye-bye.